Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Massachusetts voters won't cast their ballots for governor for another 16 months, but as of this week, the race for governor is 100% underway. The field grew crowded this week as the head of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, Charlie Baker, jumped into the race as a Republican. He'll face businessman Christy Myos in the GOP primary. Also this week, State Treasurer Timothy Cahill said he'd leave the Democratic Party, become an independent, a possible precursor to a bid for governor by Treasurer Cahill. All of this comes as dismal poll numbers show, more than a year before the election, that Governor Patrick may have his work cut out for him if he wants to win re-election. Joining us to talk about all of this and the field are our political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you, Bob.
And Republican Todd Dompke. Same to you. Good morning and nice to see you.
Good to be with you.
Both write columns for the Boston Globe. This week, Governor Patrick found out that plenty of people would like his job, which is probably not a surprise, but is it surprising that there's so much jockeying going on so early? And Dan, what's driving it?
Well, I think it's the polls that you alluded to. One of them that was done in April showed that Deval Patrick's job rating was 64% negative and only 34% positive. So the candidates of all parties believe that they've got a shot here. A wounded incumbent in bad economic times means that there might be an opening here, both for a Democrat or an independent.
Todd, a lot of people, especially Republicans, see parallels between now and 1990, between the down economy, the state budget crisis, the state tax increases now, and 1990, when fiscal woes and voter dissatisfaction led to the election of years of Republican governors in Massachusetts. Do you buy that?
Well, it's really too early to say. It could be another change election, as that one was. But it's way too early to predict that even with Deval Patrick's terrible poll numbers that an incumbent Democratic governor in an overwhelmingly Democratic state will lose. So I don't want to get my hopes up.
But a lot of Republicans are almost giddy right now.
Well, I know, but I also remember when Mitt Romney was running against Ted Kennedy for the Senate, and Romney was ahead in the polls. We don't refer to Mitt now as the lion of the Senate. But this will be like 1990 in that we will hear all of the candidates claiming to be champions of reform, including the governor, who will probably end up promising to reform himself.
The big surprise this week was State Treasurer Timothy Cahill's departure from the Democratic Party. He's still trying to make up his mind about whether he's going to run for governor or not, but sees running as an independent as his best chance if he launches a campaign. Dan, you once worked for a successful independent, Angus King, who was elected governor of Maine. Is that a route that could work for Cahill here in this state?
Well, I think it's important to know regarding Angus King in Maine is that they had elected an independent governor previously, and it was also Ross Perot's best state when he ran for president in 1992 and 96. So they had a tradition of wide support for independent candidates in Maine, and Massachusetts doesn't have such a thing. There have been two independent candidates who have won election. George Bachrach won a state Senate seat as an independent, and the late Congressman Joe Moakley won a seat in Congress running as an independent. But both of those moves were tactical. They were explained to the electorate that, you know, I'm not really an independent. I'm a Democrat, but I'm trying to get around the Democratic incumbent. Cahill, on the other hand, says that his decision, and I think he's running, otherwise he wouldn't have bothered going through all this, his decision is based on ideology. So, you know, he's got a tougher road to hoe here, plus the fact that he's been dogged by stories about his Quincy friends and lobbyists. I mean, he doesn't enter this race as a reform outsider.
Todd, let's talk about the race inside the Republican Party. Convenience store magnate Christy Myos is in the GOP race. He announced way back in April, and this week, Harvard Pilgrim CEO Charlie Baker entered the race. It's thought that Baker is the favorite, but Myos might not be a pushover.
Well, he'll be very aggressive, as we've seen in the past. He has said that he won't be going negative in his ads, but I think that promise might last maybe a few weeks. You know, he tends to go right at an opponent, and especially with his consultant Dick Morris, who's known to be even more aggressive.
Bomb thrower.
That's right, exactly. So I don't expect the kinder, gentler mode to last too long. And I assume Baker's campaign will respond, charging that my host left the party when he ran as an independent for governor last time. So it's hard to imagine how it doesn't get ugly. And to ultimately win for a Republican, if you have 12% of the registered voters, you don't want to start off by dividing your 12%. You can't count on Deval Patrick to expand the Republican base all on his own.
How strong a candidate is Charlie Baker? Lots of experience in government, working as a cabinet secretary for a couple of governors, Bill Weld and Paul Cellucci, but very little elective experience. He was a selectman in Swampscott, and that's it.
That's right. Yeah, and government experience, as you know, doesn't necessarily translate into the political skills you need as a candidate. Baker will have to prove that he can relate to average working people. He has to show that he can deliver a political blow to an opponent, that he can speak succinctly, that he can handle criticism, that he can raise money. He's shown that he's effective in the boardroom, but John Connolly was effective in the boardroom, and then he bombed as a presidential candidate. So we have to see. Baker will make some mistakes as a new candidate, but he might grow and become as effective a politician as Bill Weld, until Bill Weld moved to New York and bombed as a candidate for governor there.
Well, Baker makes about $2 million as a CEO running an HMO. And at a time when we are very sensitive to executive compensation, that could work against him. He's also got a million members in Harvard Pilgrim, and surely there are people there who are unhappy with their insurance.
It's pretty clear a Republican can't be elected in Massachusetts without big help from independents. So how big a problem is Cahill's possible entry in the race as an independent for Charlie Baker or Kristi Meios?
Well, Cahill could, I guess, claim that he's going to get what used to be called the Ed King vote, conservative Democrats, and he becomes a problem for Baker. But on the other hand, Baker is looking at a situation where he needs a relatively small chunk of a general election where it's a three-way race compared to a two-way head-to-head race. So I think in the end, Cahill is a benefit to Baker.
And, Todd, how big a challenge is all of this to Deval Patrick?
In a way, it helps him to have the anti-Deval vote split. Frankly, I think we might see more surprises. We might see Attorney General Martha Coakley decide to challenge Deval Patrick in the Democratic primary. And frankly, I think she'd be so formidable, I wouldn't be surprised in that case if he didn't ultimately decide not to seek re-election. There might be more surprises like that ahead of us.
And Dan?
That's possible, but I think Martha Coakley's got her eye on a U.S. Senate seat, either the one currently occupied by Senator Kennedy or possibly John Kerry.
Dan Payne, Todd Domke, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning, and we'll talk a lot more in the next 16 months.
Good to be with you.
Always glad to be here.